Well, my good evening. My, it's so good to be in the Lord's house. Always a joy to be here. And I once again want to say thank you for the invite to be with you. I'm glad to be able to be here. And let's just ask the Lord in prayer to bless our few minutes together, okay? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're a needy people. We know that. And we thank you for a wonderful Savior. And please, Lord Jesus, will you take and bless every aspect of our time together tonight? Would you bless your word to our hearts? For this we had asked in Jesus' name, amen. Take your Bible, and I hope you brought your Bible to the Ezekiel chapter 26. Ezekiel chapter 26. The title of the message tonight, The Word of the Lord. I want, by God's grace, to be able to emphasize the Word of God to the extent that you and I will really have a new, renewed spirit and heart towards knowing what God's Word says and having faith that, of course, naturally, we know he'll keep his word, and it's true. But the word of the Lord. Now, if God said something, it'll come to pass. Amen? It'll happen. Just in this way of introduction, Psalm 33. And let me read a few verses there before we get into Ezekiel. Psalm 33. And I want to read that beginning at that fourth verse. Here in Psalm 33, we have very familiar scripture. And verse 4 says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment." Notice, "The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." Verse 6 of Psalm 33. "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." Verse 9 of Psalm 33. "For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." Oh my, what a tremendous, wonderful Lord God we have. He spoke, and the world came into existence. If we could just grasp what the Word of God is that we hold in our hand. My, and when you read something, and myself, to just realize that God's not a man that he'd lie to us, and it'll come to pass. May not understand how it could, but let's just keep in mind the title of the message, The Word of the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 26. I want to read through this entire chapter and then come back and let it speak to our hearts in various sections. Ezekiel chapter 26 and verse 1. "And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, because that Tyrus has said against Jerusalem, Aha, she is broken, that was the gates of the people. She is turned unto me. I shall be replenished now. She is laid waste. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Tyrus, and will cause many nations to come up against thee, as the sea causeth his waves to come up. And they shall destroy the walls of Tyrus, break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. It shall be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea. For I have spoken it, saith the Lord God, and it shall become a spoil to the nations. And her daughters, which are in the field, shall be slain by the sword. And they shall know that I am the Lord. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will bring upon Tyrus Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, a king of kings from the north, with horses and with chariots, with horsemen and companies and much people. He shall slay with the sword thy daughters in the field, and he shall make a fort against thee and cast a mount against thee and lift up the buckler against thee. And he shall set engines of war against thy walls, and with his axes he shall break down thy towers. By reason of the abundance of his horses, their dust shall cover thee. Thy walls shall shake at the noise of the horsemen, and of the wheels, and of the chariots, when he shall enter into thy gates, as men enter into a city wherein is made a breach. Verse 11, with the hoofs of his horses shall he tread down all the streets. He shall slay thy people by the sword, and thy strong garrison shall go down to the ground. And they shall make a spoil of thy riches, and make a prey of thy merchandise, and they shall break down thy walls and destroy thy pleasant houses, and they shall lay thy stones and thy timbers and thy dust in the midst of the water. And I will cause the noise of thy songs to cease, and the sound of thy harps shall be no more heard. And I will make thee like the top of a rock. Thou shalt be a place to spread nets upon. Thou shalt be built no more. For I, the Lord, have spoken it, saith the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to Tyrus, shall not the isles shake at the sound of thy fall, when the wounded cry, when the slaughter is made in the midst of thee? Then all the princes of the sea shall come down from their thrones and lay away their robes and put off their broidered garments. They shall clothe themselves with trembling. They shall sit upon the ground and shall tremble at every moment and be astonished at thee. And they shall take up a lamentation for thee and say to thee, how art thou destroyed that wast inhabited of seafaring men, the renowned city which was strong in the sea, she and her inhabitants which cause their terror to be on all that haunt it. Now shall the isles tremble in the day of thy fall. Yea, the isles that are in the sea shall be troubled at thy departure. For thus saith the Lord God, when I shall make thee a desolate city, like the cities that are not inhabited, when I shall bring up the deep upon thee, and great waters shall cover thee, when I shall bring thee down with them that descend into the pit, with the people of old time, and shall set thee in the low parts of the earth, in places desolate of old, with them that go down to the pit, that thou be not inhabited, and I shall set glory in the land of the living. Verse 21, I will make thee a terror, and thou shalt be no more, though thou be sought for. Yet shalt thou never be found again, saith the Lord God. This city of Tyre, or Tyrus, as sometimes we call it, began 2,700 and some years before Christ, an old ancient city. It was a Phoenician people, I understand. And by the way, I understand we get the basis of our modern English alphabet from those people. Hiram, that is, king of Tyre, he was friendly with King David and Solomon, as some of you remember. 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, it tells us ever a lover of David, Hiram was. Hiram furnished things for Solomon's temple. He furnished timber and brass. And he produced the city of Tyre, produced many wonderful things. History tells us purple dyes, metalworks, glassworks, and other goods. They traded with all the countries of the known world, the city of Tyre. Now, why the destruction of this city? Why did God pronounce destruction upon this beautiful, wonderful city? In chapters 26 and verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, once again, and it came to pass in the 11th year, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, because that Tyrus has said against Jerusalem, Aha, she is broken, that was the gates of the people. She is turned unto me, I shall be replenished. Now she is laid waste. Therefore, verse 3, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Tyrus, and will cause many nations to come up against thee, as the sea causeth his waves to come up. And they shall destroy the walls of Tyrus and break down her towers. I will also scrape her dust from her and make her like the top of a rock. Why the destruction of Tyrus? Their spirit was not right. They said, Aha! Now that means no more than what you and I might express some way, you know, Aha! Look at that! Or such. But they were really, actually, no doubt, saying, Jerusalem is an easy prey. We're able to take it over. And also look at chapter 27 and verse 3. Ezekiel 27 and verse 3. And say unto Tyrus, O thou that art situate at the entry of the sea, which art a merchant of the people for many isles, thus saith the Lord God, O Tyrus, thou hast said, I am of perfect beauty. Go down to verse 11 of chapter 27. The men of Arad with thine army were upon thy walls, round about, and the Gammadims were in thy towers. Notice they hanged their shields upon the walls round about. They have made thy beauty perfect. Oh, my dear friend, sounds like not only had they spoken against God's people, but their pride. People said their beauty was perfect, a perfect city. And no doubt it was something to see. And so, why the destruction of Tyre? Well, the destruction, God said, would take place. Look at verse 7 of chapter 26 again. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will bring upon Tyrus, Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, a king of kings from the north, with horses, with chariots, with horsemen, and companies, and much people. God said he would use King Nebuchadnezzar and his army. And in verse 4, we read that Tyrus would be destroyed. Verse 4, we read it'd be a city to be scraped clean. Verse 5, we read it'd be a place to spread nets. And Joshua chapter 19, verse 29 said, Tyre was a strong city. My, a strong city. How could this take place? Oh, listen. I understand, if I have it correct, that Nebuchadnezzar, it took him 13 years to overrun Tyrus and conquer it. He was the biggest, strongest army in the known world at that time. My, what it must have been. And by the way, we're told that those people, after the land was, Tyre was overtaken, that some of the people, thousands of them, fled to an island off of the mainland. And having fled to that island off the mainland there, they built another beautiful city, wonderful city, somewhat prosperous. And I had understood that they built walls around it 150 feet high. Oh, my dear friend. But the word of the Lord, and that's what we want to keep our heart and our spirit on, the word of the Lord, God's word. I want you and I to realize what this book is we hold in our hand, certainly to some extent. You know, God said it'd be scraped clean, like the top of a rock. Now, think with me. How can that be? Huge city with tens and tens of thousands of people, multitude of people, be scraped clean. All the debris, all the timber, the stones, every bit of building material, scraped clean and put in water. Think of it. If Albuquerque, New Mexico, God said it'll be scraped clean like the top of a rock, like the top of this pulpit here, God's word will come true. What would they do with all the debris of this place? And be carried off, and where would they put it? Why? But that's what God said concerning Tyre, the city of Tyre. You know what happened? People no doubt didn't believe the prophet Ezekiel. Years went by. Nothing but a destroyed city with nothing but rubble. Trash, as we call it. But right at 200 years later, Alexander the Great came. And he took all of that debris and carried it to the ocean and built a causeway out to that island where they had fled. That causeway took them 7 months to build, I understand, and is 200 feet wide and is still there today. Listen, God's word's true. Doesn't matter whether you and I can imagine how this or that could take place. God's word is true, and it will take place. And oh, listen, Alexander, I understand, slew thousands of men out on that island. Crucified, I understand, around 2,000 people. And we're told took another, well, maybe up to 30,000 people and sold them as slaves. But God's word's true. There's no way that all that debris from a huge city, torn down to nothing, rubble, and the walls of it, and every bit of buildings, could be taken away and scraped clean like the top of a rock, and even the dust, no doubt the dirt, taken. Except that God said it had happened, and it took place. Now, go to chapter 26 and verse 12, just again to fix in our minds. Chapter 26 of Ezekiel and verse 12, "And they shall make a spoil of thy riches and make a prey of thy merchandise, and they shall break down thy walls and destroy thy pleasant houses, and they shall lay thy stones and thy timber and thy dust in the midst of the water." Verse 13, "And I will cause the noise of thy songs to cease and the sound of thy harps to be no more." Be no more. Verse 14, "And I will make thee like the top of a rock, and thou shalt be a place to spread nets upon. Thou shalt be built no more. For I, the Lord, have spoken it, saith the Lord God." Oh, my. It shook up the known world. dear friend, for in verse 16 of chapter 26, we read again, "Then all the princes of the sea shall come down from their thrones." That's the kings of the various nations. "And lay away their robes and put off their broidered garments. They shall clothe themselves with trembling. They shall sit upon the ground and shall tremble at every moment and be astonished at thee." Notice chapter 27 and verse 31. Chapter 27 of Ezekiel and verse 31. "And they shall make themselves utterly bald for thee, and gird them with sackcloth. They shall weep for thee with bitterness of heart and bitter wailing." Oh my. We'll not take time to read it, but chapter 27 talks of right at 30 different nations that wept over the destruction of Tyre, Tarshish, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Judah, and Syria, and on. It talks of the many nations, and the kings took off their robes and put on, if you would please, sackcloth and ashes, and wept over the destruction of that city. You know, Proverbs 14 and verse 34 says, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, and sin is a reproach unto any people." God will deal with sin. Yes, he'll deal with the sin of many people, nations, doesn't matter. I myself think of all the tornadoes, all the hurricanes, all the terrible rainstorms drenching cities, not only in the U.S., but other foreign lands, washing away homes, volcanoes, many other things taking place, fires, been more forest fires, no doubt this year than ever before in the United States, burning about half of California down, numerous homes. I believe God's dealing with this old world. I believe God's trying to get people to look to him and be saved before it's too late. Now you say, well, and we talked earlier this evening, and I agree, you and I are blessed living in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Pretty nice place to live year-round, amen, compared to other places. But think with me, the people in Albuquerque aren't any different than the wicked people elsewhere in this world. And God may deal with Albuquerque. He may send tornadoes that will just rip and tear this place, all of New Mexico, apart. I don't know. All I'm saying, that sin is a reproach unto any people, and it's terrible. It'll ruin nations. Just like the city of Tyre, God's word, he spoke and said it'd be destroyed, and it was. It was judged by God's word. God's word. Now, Ezekiel chapter 28, and let's read two or three verses there. For Tyre is symbolic of Satan. Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 11. It's just a comparison to Satan himself, if you please. Verse 11, Ezekiel 28. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum of full of wisdom and perfection in beauty." Talking of Satan. "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. The Lord Jesus created the angelic beings and Satan, of course, a fallen angel. Till iniquity was found in thee. Verse 16, please. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Reference to Satan. And by the way, God will destroy Satan also. Just like he said the city of Tyre would be destroyed, he will, as he said here, comparing Tyre to Satan in symbolic way, he will destroy Satan. And oh, listen, we have no idea how hard and wicked Satan is. And the Bible says, your heart and mind is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we need a Savior, amen? We need conversion. We need to be born again. And mankind does. You know, go to John chapter 12 with me in the New Testament. John chapter 12, please. Here in John chapter 12, and verse 48, we're talking about the word of the Lord. It'll judge Satan. And look at verse 48 of John 12. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, remember we're talking about the word of the Lord, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Word of God is going to judge you and me. Mankind. Things that God has put in this book concerning mankind. God's word will be that he judges us by. You know, the word of God, Psalm 12 and verse 6 and 7, we read this. How wonderful the word of God is. Psalm 12 and verse 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, that is, without error, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Verse 7 of Psalm 12, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. You're not going to get rid of this book. Through the ages, wicked nations, world leaders have tried to burn every bit of the scripture and destroy it over and over, a study of history. But God said his word would endure forever. The words of God are pure words. You know, Isaiah 40 and verse 8 says, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth. Psalm 40, Isaiah 40 and verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Oh my. Now, I want us to think tonight. The whole purpose of our time together tonight, or partially, is the word of God. But the Lord's word, how does it affect the Christian? It speaks to you and me. That is, it addresses you and me. It talks about you and me that name the name of Christ. You know, Psalm 84 and verse 11 is a wonderful verse. Let me read that. Psalm 84 and verse 11. Here in Psalm 84 and verse 11. We read concerning something wonderful that speaks about the child of God. The Word of God says in Psalm 84 and verse 11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Oh, listen. The Word of God says he'll not withhold one good thing from you and me if we'll walk uprightly. Yes, God's Word will come true in that respect. I like what Psalm 37 and verse 4 says. It says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Yes, the Word of God speaks to you and I. He's talking to you and me. He said, "Delight ourselves in the Lord, and he shall give us the desires of our heart." My, how God's Word has proven itself true concerning myself in that. I believe when I was attending with my mother and dad and family in Durango, Colorado, First Baptist Church there as a child, I believe I did come to know Christ as Savior. But then, years later, as a soldier in Hanau, Germany, four stories up in the air, sitting on the edge of a bed, I was reading out of a little old military brown New Testament out of the book of Revelation. And God spoke to my heart and got a hold of my heart. And oh, you'll have no idea the miracles that God has worked in my life. Somewhere along life's road, shortly after that, someone gave me that verse in Psalm 37 and verse 4, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." My God has done that numerous times in my life, in oh so many ways. And I want to challenge everyone under the sound of my voice. Listen, God's Word will come true, and whatever he said or addresses you and me with, speaks to our hearts, it'll come to pass. Yes, Psalm 119 and verse 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word," his word. How does a person clean up their life? By taking heed, listening to God's word and what it says. And oh, listen, doesn't matter if God speaks concerning some city such as Tyre. It'll happen. But he does address you and me. Let's get into God's word and find out what it says. And let's just put our finger on it and say, "Lord, this is what you said. I'm going to trust you for it." Amen. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3 says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." We need to pray and ask God for his will, not mine. Years ago, my family and I, wife and two children, went into Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and started the Bible Baptist Church of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. We needed a piano player. And thank you for the piano playing. I appreciate that in this place. We needed a song leader. I decided I'd spend the night in prayer. Spent all night in prayer asking God for a pianist and song leader. You know what happened? Clark Ironside, nephew of Harry Ironside, if you know of him, drove 60 miles with his family. He led singing that morning. His wife played the piano. Listen, there's a God in heaven. His word will come true. And you know, there are hard verses. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Things that we don't understand happen. We can say, "Lord, I don't know all about it. I don't understand it. I would think I would like something different, but I do want to say thank you because I know you know best. God's word, he knows best, dear friend. You know, Philippians 1:12 says concerning the things that happened to us and happened to our churches, I would ye should understand, brethren, the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, that some other poor lost soul might be saved. My dear wife went home to be with the Lord May the 1st. Just a few weeks ago, dear friends, she suffered so terribly it was unreal. People delivering oxygen to the house, a witness to them, gave them tracts. Other people coming in and out of the house, doctors, nurses, gave them tracts. I certainly was desirous my dear wife would rise up and have health. Cancer conditions of the pancreas go through your whole body, I understand. You'll never have any understanding how terrible she suffered for months, unable to eat or sleep, nose running blood, and on and on and on I could go. And my whole purpose of mentioning this is not that you'd feel sorry for me. Praise God for a Savior. Amen. She's with the Lord. And oh my, dear friend, but God's word says in everything give thanks. And so I can say, Lord, you know best. And Philippians 1:12, once again, I would ye should understand, brethren, the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Now, if one or two or a half a dozen folk got saved coming in and out of the house and dealing with doctors in the hospital and nurses giving them gospel tracts, if one or half a dozen or more got saved, it's well worth it. Keep one soul out of hell. Dear friend, I'm just trying to say that the word of the Lord, whatever it says, we may not be able to quite like the way things are going in life, but God is dealing with his people. He loves you and me. Amen. Now, let's think this in closing tonight. Not only the word of the Lord addressed to people that name the name of Christ and are saved, but the word of the Lord and the lost crowd. Oh my. You know, the lost crowd, God's word once again from this morning even, Revelation 20 and verse 14 and 15, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is a second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The poor lost crowd, God's word, will prove true concerning them. You know, Romans 10, verse 9 says, let me read those verses. I enjoy reading them. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and a few verses there. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now he's speaking to the lost crowd, the lost man and woman, young person. For verse 10, 11, and 12, and 13 of Romans 10 says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, getting right with God, amen, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For where there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Notice verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's word not only speaks to the child of God, he speaks to the lost crowd. He said, if you just call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, the word Jesus means Savior. If they would just say, you're the Savior, and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead, that's necessary, folks. He just wasn't a good man. He was the God-man, very God, manifest in a body. But if they would ask him, the lost crowd, God's word addresses, speaks to their hearts. Oh my, Psalm 19, verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect. That's this book, dear friend, converting the soul. So God's word, that's the title of the message, the word of the Lord. It's true. You can believe it, even though you may not understand every inch of it, so to speak. But listen, this is a precious book. I hope you read it daily. Have you ever read the Word of God through from cover to cover? If not, you're missing out. You can read this book through. It's a big book. You start reading it, you'll find it out. 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sunday, you can read it through in a year. Just 3 chapters every day. You need to be in God's Word every day. You'll get such truths here. It'll change your life, your whole destiny, your whole eternity, throughout eternity. Oh, listen, dear friend. The Word of the Lord. I want us to have been challenged tonight. Not only as we already knew this is God's word, already knew it's true, but that he will bring everything to pass that's said in here, whether it applies to the Christian or to the lost crowd or some other situation, it will come to pass. Let's bow our heads in closing prayer, please. Dear Father in heaven, we do believe your word is without error. We do believe that your word is such that it'll take place, it'll come to pass. And there's many other things we could look at and think on this evening in the sense of rejoicing over what you've promised the child of God. We do look forward to your soon coming. We call it the rapture of the church, your people. And Lord, in the meantime, though, please continue to be gracious to each one of us. We ask not only for your grace, but we want to say thank you for your wonderful grace and mercy to each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen.